This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Michael Moore. If you'd like a copy of today's show, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Today is Monday, February 11th, 2013, and the time is now 8:02. Coming up next is more talk radio with hosts Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Today we're going to talk about police accountability and the Citizen Review Committee.
February 7, 2013. KBOO Navigator Report. On Valentine's Day, Contessa de la Luna is bringing a spectacular show, complete with music, games, prizes, and the classic movie Rear Window, to the Clinton Street Theater. 100% of the proceeds will benefit KBOO. Visit kboo.fm for details. Kaboom! 2013 is KBOO's 45th anniversary. Huge celebration plans are underway that will totally rock Portland. We are seeking unique and wonderfully creative artwork for our commemorative t-shirts and posters. Email navigator@kboo.org if you are interested in donating your services and having your work associated with this historic event. A Navigator communications team is forming. If you are someone who can take direction, has initiative, good follow-through, and has excellent written and verbal communication skills, and you have 2 to 4 hours each week to contribute making calls, sending emails, and being part of a social media squad, attend a meeting Sunday, March 3rd at 1 p.m. at KBOO. Refreshments will be provided. For more information, contact Lynn Fitch, 503-231-8032, extension 222, or navigator@kboo.org. Thank you.
Tune in Tuesday, February 13th at 9 a.m. to Alternative Radio. We'll listen to a lecture by Amiri Baraka titled Real Politics, Real Poetry. Amiri Baraka rose to fame in the 1960s as Leroy Jones. His 1964 off-Broadway play, Dutchman, created a sensation. Later, he became Amiri Baraka and was a central figure in the Black Arts Movement. He is an award-winning playwright and poet and recipient of American Book Award for Lifetime Achievement. He is a member of the American Academy of Arts and Letters. He is the author of many books, including Home and Digging. That's this Tuesday at 9 a.m., only on KBOO Portland.
Good morning.
Today is Monday, February 11th. You are listening to KBOO FM 90.7 Portland, 91.9 Hood River, 100.7 in Corvallis, and on the World Wide Web, kboo.fm. My name is Cecil Prescott.
My name is Celeste Carey, and welcome aboard.
Today is Monday, February 11th, and, you know, I have an announcement to make.
Go right ahead. Be my guest.
You know, Benedict resigned, so I think I might apply for Pope.
For Pope?
For Pope.
Well, he said he was tired and sick, and is that a job hazard? Are you sure you want that job?
Well, I have a few years, but, you know, if people mm-hmm. don't want to apply for the be Pope, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about something that they may be interested in applying to that impact people's life in a meaningful way.
In a similar fashion?
I'm not going to go there.
Well, I just mean meaningful way.
Meaningful way.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so why don't you share about the program this morning?
Well, what we're doing today is the same as we did last year, roughly about this time, which is to pique people's curiosity about being involved in the Independent Police Review Division and part of the Citizen Review Committee. This is the time of year when they go out and they recruit people. And because I, as many people are, interested in seeing a very good, deep, and broad pool of applicants, I think it's important for us to bring this on and bring this before the people so that people can be involved. We've got some information about what the Citizen Review Committee does. We have some information about some of the successes and challenges for the past year and some of the hopes that they would like to see accomplished this year. We'll talk about the process. You get to meet two people who are involved in the program and basically vet some questions you have. Now, we know that there have been in the news recently some issues with Portland Police, and only as it is relevant to the Citizens Review Committee are we going to address them. Everything can't be addressed here. That doesn't mean that it's an illegitimate or invalid question. It may be very valid. It may be very pressing. It just may not be in our avenue to deal with it today. But we do want to invite your calls and your questions and to hear more about the Citizen Review Committee recruitment process so that you can be part of the program, as they say. Now, without further ado, I'm going to introduce our two guests, have them introduce themselves, rather, so they can tell you a little bit more about why you want to be involved and what the whole process is. To my right, our former guest.
Good morning again. I appreciate you having us on. My name is Constantine Severe. I'm Assistant Director at the Independent Review Division, which the CRC, the Citizen Review Committee, is a part of. The main reason I think somebody should be part of the CRC or consider joining the CRC is a lot of times government talks to people or talks at people. The CRC is really kind of direct democracy at its like basic, most granular level, where folks get an opportunity to engage in and oversee one IPR and also the police bureau, which is one of the most important bureaus in our city, and with all the issues that the Bureau is facing right now, I think it's a really important and exciting time to be on the CRC. One of the biggest parts of being on the CRC is having the public meetings where, you know, issues get addressed and that there are direct changes from CRC prior actions that have changed the police bureau, like different work groups that the CRC has. I'm just thinking back in the past, they had a tow work group, which changed the towing policies of the police bureau, force policy work group, bias-based policing work group, which changed some of the bureau's bias-based policing policies. So there'll be enough time for us to talk about everything, so I'll let Rodney introduce himself.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Rodney Paris. I'm a member of the Citizen Review Committee. So I joined about a year ago, so that's why I'm here, just to talk about my experiences and to promote people to apply. I've enjoyed it. It's a challenging role, but it is very fulfilling. As Constantine says, it's a way to really get involved, learn more about the city, learn more about the police bureau, and see some of the work you're doing have effect and impact the policies of the bureau.
So let's make it clear to people who are in the audience who may not be familiar with everything you just said. Rodney, you introduce yourself as a member of the Civilian
Citizen Review Committee.
Maybe you can tell us exactly what that is and what are its duties. And then, Constantine, you introduce yourself as
Assistant Director
of the Independent
Police Review Division.
Mm-hmm. And tell us what that is and how the
two work together.
Okay. Sure. So the Citizen Review Committee, the CRC, is a 9-member committee of Portland citizens. We do a few different things. The first thing we do is we hear appeals. So if a citizen files a complaint with independent police review that they've been that the Bureau has done something to them that they feel may be outside of policy, the city will then investigate that. The Bureau or IPR will investigate. If the citizen is not happy with the results of that investigation, they can file an appeal to the Citizen Review Committee. We will go, we will review the files, the investigation materials, and then we will hold an appeal hearing to decide whether we think the finding was reasonable or not. So that's one of the primary things we do. Some of the other things we do is we have work groups where we look at Bureau policy, review those policies, and determine if there's some changes that need to be made, and we can recommend changes to those policies. Constantine mentioned a couple examples there. We hold public meetings where we get input from the public on issues they've had in their day-to-day lives on dealing with the Bureau. That's where we get a lot of input that drives our work throughout the year. So those are some of the main things we do. Constantine may have something to add.
I'm a city employee, so I never really have anything to add. Again, my name is Constantine. I'm the assistant director at IPR, and IPR kind of has four or five core missions. One, we're the civilian oversight agency for the city of Portland for the police bureau. So we were formed back in 2001, came into function 2002. We take complaints and commendations about the actions of city of Portland police officers. And given the like multi-jurisdictional nature of our community, it's only the city of Portland. So we don't have authority over the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office or the Beaverton Police. Also, we engage in administrative investigations of those cases. So that also means monitoring those investigations, because in Portland we kind of have a split system where IPR does the initial investigation. So when somebody files a complaint, we are the kind of the interface with the civilian community. But if the investigation continues on involving interviewing officers and that kind of thing, it goes over to the Internal Affairs Office. We oversee those. We monitor those investigations. We have the authority to approve investigations. And if those investigations go in front of a police review board, which is the disciplinary board, we, IPR member, either myself, another assistant director, Rachel Mortimer, or the director, Mayor Beth Baptista, sits on the police review board, depending if it's our case, and we are a voting member on that police review board. Other things that we do are when there's an officer-involved shooting or in custody death, we go to the scene. We monitor the investigation from basically the 0 hour, from basically when that incident occurs. We are notified of that incident, and we go out to wherever that is, and we monitor the investigation. We follow that investigation through its course. When the investigation is completed and it's done, our office retains an expert to review closed officer-involved shootings to make sure that everything was done appropriately.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city. We welcome your phone calls, your questions, your concerns, 503-231-8187. And more specifically, we're looking for you to ask questions about how you can be involved, what kinds of qualifications and experiences you have that would be important and supportive of the effort, and just any general questions about the processes that are used by the Citizen Review Committee as a function of the Independent Police Review. 503-231-8187. Now, you've spoken, Constantine, about what the Independent Police Review is and how the Citizens Review Committee functions as a part of that, and what the people bring to it. But I think I'd like to unpack that just a little bit more. In terms of how members function on there, you mentioned that they will go to incidents, sites of incidents to review. So that speaks to perhaps a certain knowledge or experience bank. What is it that you like people to bring with them when they come to this committee as a candidate, as a participant?
As to going to on-scene investigation of the case, that's an IPR function. The CRC, we have the CRC members do appeals. They listen to cases that have gone through the process, and either the community member or the officer is displeased with the way the final findings were in that case, and the CRC is ready to take appeals in that case. So to answer your question, what we're looking for is folks from a wide kind of broad breadth of this community who are willing to have an open mind about these cases. And we have a lot of attorneys, with nothing to speak ill about attorneys. I'm an attorney, Rodney is an attorney, and I believe we're both good people, but that isn't all of our— I think Rodney's a good person. Myself, I'm not so sure about
that. No, you should never say that on public now.
But, it's one of those things where our community is broader than attorneys or people with doctorates. And I think we miss out on something when we, particularly as an organization that is supposed to represent the whole city, when we only have folks who, have professional degrees on a very important advisory body. So one of the things that is just folks from all over town, not folks just from a particular section of town, to be on the CRC either have to live in the city of Portland or have some sort of business or employment connection to the city. So it's one of those organizations where we're trying to catch, actually spread out as wide of a net as we can to get basically the most qualified folks from a wide spread of the community.
How many people are on the committee?
Currently, there are 9 members. We're down a couple of spots. We've had a couple of folks resign under the Department of Justice, City of Portland agreement. Mm-hmm. That number has been proposed to go to 11. So we're going to be recruiting for 5 or 6 positions for the CRC in the next few months. So, that's kind of what we're doing right now.
And what is the length of the term?
It's a 3-year term, so it is a significant commitment. That's one of the other things I would ask for people that are interested is to consider that. I would say I spend, 10 to 20 hours a month working on citizen committee review work. There's opportunities for more to attend community outreach events. You could do as many of those as you wanted. Mm-hmm. So somebody that has the time, the commitment to do it, as well as the things that Constantine spoke about as well.
Is there an age requirement, 21, 18?
Truth be told, I think you have to be an adult, but from what I can see in the application, there isn't a requirement of, that you have to be 18 or 21, but I think you should be able to be a community member who has the authority to, make decisions on important matters, so.
And what about background?
Background and criminal check.
There are background because the CRC involves reviewing very confidential employment matters. Folks will have to be able to pass a background check, and it's a very thorough background check.
Now, when we talk about background checks, I know there might be some people who are concerned, traffic tickets, for example, or other issues. Does having any significant we'll call it legal history, impede you, or is it the nature of the legal history that matters?
Well, folks who have issues with driving and traffic, that's mm-hmm. a big impediment in just the community in general. The thing about that is just we just want everything to be transparent. So yes. If you have those issues, just be upfront about it. That's not a disqualifier because if people have issues with driving and traffic tickets, and that's like a disqualifier mm-hmm. to being on a CRC or even working in general. We wouldn't have anybody available. So it's just one of those things. Just be honest. And we look at the whole person, and there's going to be kind of a application committee that's in reviewing these applications and then having interviews with folks chosen to come in. And, we just want to have the widest possible selection of folks in the community.
Again, we welcome your phone calls. This is your opportunity to ask questions about a process that is asking you to be involved. 503-231-8187. And to start it off, maybe a question might be, well, how can your experiences benefit the Citizen Review Committee? Maybe your questions are, what exactly are the duties that you might be involved in with the Citizens Review Committee? Maybe you have some questions as to the whole idea of a Citizens Review Committee. Where does it get its power? Is it considered an equal partner? 503-231-8187.
So let's go back to you and share about your initial interest in this committee, and why did you join?
So I've been a Portland resident for quite a long time, and I believe in the city and the things that it does. I wanted to volunteer. You know, I have a spirit of volunteerism, trying to help out, not just talk about things, but get involved, try to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So I, in various ways, I try to do that, not just with police accountability, but in other things as well. So that's one thing. I think my legal background, I think, gave me a sense of justice and civil rights and fairness. I think that's one reason. I think there are a few attorneys on the committee because we get that that background just from the nature of our work. And so I was contacted. I mean, I remember this radio show. I was contacted through various, you know, community groups, heard about it. I applied. I was fortunate enough to be selected to be a member. So it's been a great experience for me. I would recommend it for anyone interested in city government and in police accountability. It's a great experience.
Now, what were some of the aspects of the process when you first put in your candidacy? What was some of the process that you went through? So in case people are listening and they're sweating bullets here and thinking, well, I'm not sure if this is for me.
Sure. So there's an application. You can find the application online at the IPR website or at City Hall in the IPR offices. So it's a fairly lengthy application, talking about your life experiences, talking about any work or volunteerism you've had in the criminal justice system, you know, relations or experiences with the police. That you might want to talk about, and then you have to list some references. So I filled out the application. The application committee then narrowed that down. I was brought in for an interview. I think it took, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. That was really it. They then contacted me a few weeks later and told me I'd been selected. So,
mm-hmm. What has surprised you about this position?
I don't know if it's surprising so much as just supporting a belief that I already had about how involved the city of Portland citizens are in their own government. We held meetings and we see people there. They're always attending. They're very willing to give input on the CRC, very passionate about police accountability. I think that's been that's very helpful for our work, is to hear from the citizens. So I think that's kind of verified what I already kind of knew. The other thing would just be the amount of work. You know, it's a challenging. You know, I have a full time job. I have a family. They were very upfront and honest with the amount of work, and it's been manageable. But there are times when we have lengthy appeals, where there's going to be some work. You have to go look at some pretty lengthy investigation files. So the ability to sift through paperwork is a good attribute for a citizen committee member to have.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you wanted a diversity of individuals. Yes. And backgrounds. What are some areas that you would like to see added on into this committee now?
So I think, as Constantine mentioned, you know, various types of diversity. I think racial and ethnic backgrounds, we've lost some of that with some of the changes to our committee composition. I think having people from various ethnic backgrounds, racial backgrounds applying would be very helpful. People from the LGBTQ community applying, disability community, all sorts of communities, you know, careers, various careers would be very helpful to get different perspectives. We do have some professional, and we have a few attorneys on the committee right now. I'd like to get some other folks on there, non-attorneys, mm-hmm. People with various experiences with the Portland Police
people
Bureau.
People from the faith community, people of different ages, as we spoke earlier, mm-hmm. both in terms of youth and of the our senior citizens being involved.
One of the things for me, there are basically two kind of demographic groups that just myself that I really would be interested in. One, I think we need more women on the CRC. Because one, police culture is very male dominated, and I think just this and city government culture ends up being really male dominated, and just having that different perspective to make it, you know, much more inclusive of what our society actually looks like. And as somebody who is the child of immigrants myself, I would like somebody from the immigrant community, whether that's the Slavic community or the Hispanic community or
Asian, South Asian,
Somali community. And also on the CRC, our demographic kind of it's getting a little bit broader, but it has tended to skew a little bit older. So your question earlier about the age requirement, you know, folks who are, you know, at least out of high school, it would be great if we could have some younger people. And a lot of times younger people, as somebody who was young not that long ago, I can remember thinking like, well, you know, they don't really want to hear from me. I don't really have this experience. I don't know anything or whatever. The CRC is a great opportunity to learn about what the city and what this government believes in, and knowing what the rules are and being able to apply those rules. So I think it's a really great opportunity for young folks, and also for our older folks who have a lot of experience in their past and who are willing to share that knowledge that they have with the community. So I think we've gotten a lot from having a lot of older folks who have retired, but it'd be great if some younger folks would step up too.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. My name is Celeste Carey. I'm here with my co-host, Cecil Prescott. We welcome your calls as we speak with members of the Citizens Review Committee of part of the Independent Police Review, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to our caller, Joanne. Good morning.
Yes, hello. Gentlemen, I'm an elder. I made many attempts during my life to get a college education but failed. And also to add to that, I had to take my Social Security disability. I'm being mentally ill instead of all my many physical and medical problems. So can you be honest about this? Can someone like me be on one of your committees and I'll hang up?
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you for your call.
I think we want a committee that looks and reflects our society. So folks who have had mental health issues it's not a disqualification to being on the. I mean, we want people who look like the community and who represent what all of us are going through. So I mean, folks should really not think that, like, just because they have a particular issue, whatever it may be, that they shouldn't apply. Just speaking for myself as, you know, an IPR representative this morning, that would not be a disqualification.
It would seem to me the most important thing is to really be honest with self and say, how much of this can I handle? Because understanding some of the issues that I've just heard you allude to are going to be difficult matters where it's going to require you to really have to be objective and to really sift through what could be some really polarizing events. So if you feel capable and competent in doing that, and you've got a good support system, then I would encourage you to be a candidate, to go ahead and put your application in.
And can I just add one thing? We do have work groups that meet throughout the week, various work groups. Any member of the public is, you know, can attend those. We do send out public notices on those. That information is posted on the IPR website. So even if you don't feel like you have time to volunteer for the committee, you can attend our work group meetings, our monthly CRC public meetings, and give input and listen to what's going on.
It seems to me one of the challenges, not only for you, this committee, but government in general, is that it requires a lot of people a lot of time.
Yes.
And that means that some people will be, because of their life circumstances, their work, will not be able to participate fully in the committee. So I like what you just said about the smaller work committees that people might be able to participate in. I know we want diversity, but sometimes by the nature of our society, it limits to those who have more free time. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call. Why will you join the Citizen Review Committee, and what questions you have? Let's go to Jackie. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a comment. First of all, I want to say all respect to anyone who volunteers their time for the community. And I couldn't volunteer to be on the Citizen Review Committee because I am the caregiver for my partner who is in a wheelchair as a result of police brutality by the Portland police. And so my comment is that anyone who is interested in volunteering needs to understand that the IPR is a sham that serves to legitimize the Portland police, and consequently the CRC is part of that. It serves the police to have a citizen community a committee in place, but when it does not have any real power, then it does not really serve to hold police accountable. The CRC can make recommendations. The IPR can make recommendations. It's called independent, but, of course, it's a city body that has city employees. There's no firewall between the IPR, necessarily, that we can be really assured of between the IPR and the police. Mm-hmm. Internal affairs can make their recommendations. Of course, they are the police. Even the police review board can make recommendations, and the chief of police can do something different. We see examples of this in the news all the time. I don't think I'm being cynical, I just think I'm being realistic here. There have been many efforts in the community to increase the power of the CRC as a genuine oversight body I've been to some of those city council meetings, and they've been resisted and voted down and shut down, even conversation about it shut down again and again and again. So this is not a reason for people not to serve and volunteer on the CRC, but I just hope that folks will do it with open eyes and with a real clarity about what these power dynamics are in the city and why it is that the Portland police have come to the point where they have such a poor reputation nationally for accountability. And so I think that if people do volunteer and are able to serve in the CRC, I hope that they would be the squeakiest wheel possible, be the ones who at every opportunity raise a ruckus about this lack of genuine accountability and genuine citizen oversight. And I'll take your answer off the air.
Well, thank you for your call.
So Jackie is the type of person I would think would be great to
Would be great. Yes, eyes wide open and very aware of where we've got rough spots that do not work well.
So how do people, she raises several issues about mm-hmm. the challenges, about the independency of the committee.
About it being a full partner.
Those are things I'm sure you hear all the time.
Sure, I would let Constantine talk about IPR, but as far as the CRC, sure, our powers are limited. We can make recommendations on our findings when we hold our appeals and on policy recommendations. The Bureau can disagree with those. If people are interested in what our policies are, they're all, you know, prescribed under city ordinance. People can go read that. We have tried to, we have made recommendations to council to have more power. We will have some additional power under the DOJ city agreement. We will have two additional members. We will rotate on to the police review board. We will be able to ask for additional investigation when we don't feel an investigation was thorough, which they will then have to do. We will be able to do that once. So it's still limited, but it'll give us some additional powers. But yes, people should go into it with their eyes wide open about what they're getting into. It's not, there are limitations to what we can do.
I really appreciate the comment, and those are some of the things that the caller, some of the issues that the caller brought up was some of the issues I struggled with before I became a member of IPR. I was a criminal defense attorney before I became the assistant director at IPR, and I was wondering what my efficacy would be, you know, how effective could I be becoming part of the Independent Police Review Division, and just based on what I knew of the director, Mayor Beth Baptista, who is just a former prosecutor in town, I decided to join the team because I believed in what she was trying to do. The Independent Police Review Division is separate from the Police Bureau. We're under the city auditor, who's in Portland, independently elected, LaVon Griffin-Vallade. Mm-hmm. And if you've read any of her recent audits on the on Transportation Bureau, some past audits on the Police Bureau, the auditor is really, she's not afraid of anybody. She's going to speak truth to power and the director. If you've seen some of the comments that she's made on some recent cases, she has spoken truth to power. Our authority has increased over the last 3 to 4 years. In 2010, there was an ordinance passed by council that granted us more additional authority, like the authority for us to be able to be officer-involved shootings at the scene. That is a recent authority. And the only reason that we were able to get that authority was because city council, the council chamber was packed on about 3 or 4 different occasions with the community speaking eloquently and basically with one voice saying that we wanted IPR to have more authority. And if there's gonna, if folks want additional changes, that it's going to be one of those things where folks need to be able to, one, if particularly if you're on a CRC, if you're a CRC member and you go to council and say, you know, council, I'm a CRC member and I've basically gotten to see how all this works and I believe things need to change in a particular way. I think you have a particular relevance and particular knowledge that I think council members find very
compelling.
Exactly. And so it's one of those things where with this new DOJ agreement, IPR's yes. authority will be increased as well. And there's also going to be opportunities, I believe, down the line for further changes. And I think this is one of those things where if you look at where IPR was, or even before IPR existed, when there was PIAC, which was like basically mm-hmm. kind of the oversight agency mm-hmm. where there was this organization that just looked at completed police investigations and you could either say, okay, was it a good investigation or was it not? And the community said, like, okay, that, yeah.
That's a pointless exercise.
That doesn't really make sense. How are mm-hmm. you going to try to change something after it's completed? So IPR has come into existence and it's been an incremental process. Right. And I'm not going to say that everything's perfect right now, and you know, but you know, the one thing that I could sit talk about is that you know there is a you know I think there's a really important need for greater transparency in our process. It's one, it's really complicated how things work right now, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things that we've tried to do is try to make it much more simplified and much more transparent. And looking forward and trying to implement the Department of Justice agreement. Trying to bring greater transparency so folks can understand what's going on. And so, like, when there's discipline in cases that folks – there's a public report of what the Police Review Board does right now. That's on the police city website. But trying to get to that, you know, truthfully, is relatively difficult. You have to go into the Police Bureau website and then click onto reports and then click on public report. And it's something that comes out twice a year. So, you know, just trying to basically bring what the government does to the people in its most direct form. So that's kind of one of our issues at IPR as well.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We're speaking with Constantine Sevier of the Independent Police Review Division and Rodney Paris of the Citizen Review Commission. Why would you join the Citizen Review Commission? Why or why not? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Let's go to Randy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Citizen participation is a fine idea, usually. But when you mentioned all the people, the types of people you would like involved, you mentioned, seemed to me, mostly superficialities. If you're going to talk about diversity, I think the only true diversity is values diversity. I didn't hear that mentioned, but I assume you would include values diversity.
Explain
what you mean by values diversity.
Well, values having to do with how people look at the world, what they value as good and right and true and honest, and you know, that's the diversity.
So different world views.
Worldview, yeah. I mean, the color of your skin.
You're talking about political philosophy, religious,
yeah,
religious
spiritual,
viewpoints?
Spiritual, economic, exactly what do you mean?
Well, yeah, all those things.
Okay.
You know, conservative, leftist, very different. I could have nothing in common with a white, male, middle class, whatever, if his values were opposite mine.
Okay.
But I could have everything in common with a black female lesbian if her values were similar to mine.
Okay, well, thank you, Randy.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hope you will consider applying for this position. So in terms of the committee itself, I'm sure there's a group of people. You all come from different places. How do you work through your diverse
differences?
Differences, yeah.
Yeah. Team building.
So we have done some of that, actually. We do have an annual retreat where we get together, plan out the year. We did do a training on the racial history of the city. Folks from the city came in and did some training for us on that with a lot of leadership in the African-American community were there, public members, to give their input. So we do a lot of training in those areas to try to work together. When we have our appeals meetings, those are all public. We do our deliberations publicly so people can see everyone's point of view. Whenever we make our ruling on one of our appeals, everyone has to explain their thought process about why they're voting the way they're voting. So we try to be transparent with that. We work together fairly well. There are differences of opinion. There's a wide range of worldviews, as the previous caller talked about, on the committee right now. People can see things very differently. Many of our votes are split when we're doing our appeal voting. So we'll always be striving to work through that. As we're going to be gaining a lot of new members here in the next couple months, we'll have to, you know, we'll go through that again, integrate those folks into the committee, and welcome everyone's perspective as we do that.
We do have another caller, but I want to put this question in the hopper to think of it. We ask for diversity. We ask for a broad range of experiences and worldviews and values. But one of the questions I have is, how will you support people who come from these different views, especially if they come from different economic levels? How will you support their ability to participate? Because one of the things that comes to mind for me is transportation issues. The other thing that comes to mind is child care or other issues like that. Are there ways that you provide support to people, even at the lower level, such as the public forums, for people to be involved that really enhance it? But I just want to put that in your mind to kind of percolate. We're going to go to our next caller here. BJ, good morning.
Good morning. And how are you folks this morning?
Just fine. How are you?
I am outstanding. I had a question just as a person of color myself and as a person who is was formerly local law enforcement and has gone to the federal side, luckily on vacation this week. But my question is, you know, we have oversight committees for your local law enforcement, and my concern is, while I understand how they feel as a community, and I completely can side with looking at certain issues and going, well, gee, you know, why did that happen that way? What got the officer to be put in that position to have to make a life or death decision? And my concern is that while we do have people that question, how many people on that committee are actually prior law enforcement or have the experience and have the background knowledge to understand, okay, these people have been put in this position, you know, what were their outs? What decisions led to that particular incident? Because sometimes what will happen is we as a community will look at an incident and pass judgment without the knowledge to go, well, wait a minute, you know, why did they get there? What would I have done in that position? And there's a lot of armchair quarterbacking, and it doesn't mean that I allow or condone, you know, incidents where abuse has happened by law enforcement. That's my job now, is to make sure that kind of thing does not happen within a department. But I can also sit back with a little bit of knowledge in my toolbox and go, okay, why did he get there, and what other things could he or she have done to alleviate it? And that's my concern, is the community tends to be sensitive. As a person of color, we tend to be sensitive to these issues because we want to make sure that this wasn't done due to a stereotype. This was done because of an action. Actions lead to consequences. Why did we get to that consequence? That's my concern.
Well, I mean, I can answer part of it as a member of the community that's gone through the Citizens Police Academy. And that's one of the ways in which your grassroots person gets an experience and exposure to police process, police thinking, police procedures. But I know that you not only have committee members go through that, that you also have, I think you have one member on the committee who is former law enforcement as well.
Yes, one of our members is a former Port of Portland lieutenant. We've had also other law enforcement on the CRC in the past. You know, it's, again, there are folks in law enforcement who live in Portland or obviously connected to Portland in some way or other, and they are part of our community as well. So, I mean, we want to hear a broad spectrum, but, you know, just the way the odds are going to work, we're not going to have, you know, folks with that level of experience, and folks are trained immensely to become law enforcement. There's thousands of hours, and there's a particular perspective that when you're on the CRC, you kind of have to understand a little bit, and you have to understand the regulations and the rules, and even just the way some of, you know, the force policies work and all that type of stuff. So what you brought up about the Citizen Academy was a good point. Unfortunately, the Police Bureau doesn't do that anymore.
Yes.
And it was a great program. Every person that I've talked to who's done it really appreciated the amount of time. But, you know, it's just with these tight budgetary things, the Police Bureau decided to allocate its resources other ways. But there's the caller does bring up a good point about what kind of training, at least implicitly, what kind of training CRC members receive. Mm-hmm. There's relatively extensive training. I mean, it's not like you have to go to a CRC boot camp, but there's a number of kind of sessions held talking about the different rules, the history, and then there's kind of ongoing training like that you kind of basically participate in by being a member of a work group and having the appeals.
I would just say other things that committee members do or go on ride-alongs with bureau members.
I went 911 dispatch sit-alongs
to the Emergency Communication Center. Mm-hmm. I did go out there and listen to that. Just being on the committee, you do gain quite a bit of knowledge about how things work. Of course, we're not experts. When we hear our appeals, there's representatives from Internal Affairs there to talk about their investigation. There's bureau members there, usually a commander or someone in a position of authority to discuss why he made his findings. So just from hearing that, we hear from the citizen, but we also hear from the bureau and from the city. So we get a broad range of perspectives as we're hearing our appeals, because we do appreciate what that caller was saying, that we are not trained police officers or law enforcement personnel, but we can look at an investigation and tell whether we think the finding that came out of that was reasonable or not. I think most people could do that with the level of training that we get.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. Our guests today are talking about this Citizens Review Committee. Give us a call at 503-231-8187. And let me remind you that coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. Bill Resnick speaks with Larry Kleinman, Secretary Treasurer for PCUN, a union for Oregon farm workers. Joe Clement talks about police scholar Christian Williams about community alternatives to the police. And we hear from Daryl Cherney, Director of Who Bombed Judy Barry. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Locus Focus, host Barbara Bernstein speaks with Tom Butler of the Northeast Wilderness Trust and editor of a new book from the Foundation for Deep Ecology and the Post-Carbon Institute called Energy, Overdevelopment and the Delusion of Endless Growth, about how to save the planet. At 11 on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman speaks with medical researcher and author Brenda Watson about natural ways to reverse the cycle of poor heart health. And at 11:30 on Radio Zine, Joanne Hardesty speaks with pediatrician Dr. Yolanda White about the latest scientific and health news regarding water fluoridation and the risks it would pose for Portland children. And thanks, KBOO members, for your ongoing support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the Donate Today. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Our guests today are Constantine Severe and Rodney...
Paris.
Rodney. 231-8187. Give us a call. Tell us about your concerns about the Citizens Review Committee and why or why not you would join.
As we kind of wind it up, there's some things that I want to make sure we do touch upon. One is, as I mentioned, participation at various levels. And if there's any ability to provide support for some working people, maybe coming is important, but being able to make sure that you've got child care is an issue. Is that something that you're able to provide, just some small-level supports for people to engage at the public forum level, if nothing else?
For CRC members, really all that's provided financially is transportation. You know, we can get bus or parking can get paid for. Child care would be something else, but those are those sort of barriers are something we can consider as a CRC body, you know, talking about that. But.
Well, I'm thinking more of your public forum meetings, more so than the actual CRC.
Oh, for people to attend.
Attend those, because given the fact that you do want a broad, you want broad participation, it seems to me that would be one of the ways to kind of help people be a part of that. And then we've talked a little bit about what kind of training people have, but I wanted you to speak a little bit more to that time commitment. And I thought I heard you say, Rodney, that it was something like 10 to 20 hours a month.
It varies. It varies depending on whether we have an appeal in that month or not. So the appeals are really the time-consuming portion of our work. Usually there would be a meeting once a month where we would have our public meeting. Sometimes there's appeals, sometimes not. If there's an appeal, you're going to take a few hours to go through the materials, the investigation materials. Sometimes those are a quarter inch thick. Sometimes they're half a foot thick. So it really depends on the length of the investigation and the complexity. So there's 3 to 4 hour monthly meetings. Then there's also work group meetings. So I participate in two work groups. They each meet once a month for an hour. And then the other part is the community outreach portion. So attending various communities, community events. We hold once or twice a year public forums. The last one we held was in November in partnership with Race Talks at the Kennedy School on community policing. So there's other events to participate in as well. I've been spending some time doing recruitment, meeting individually with folks to talk about the CRC. So, you know, like I would say, no appeal in a month. You may only have 6 or 8 hours of work. If there's an appeal, you know, that could extend out a bit.
And then with regard to the work groups, I'm assuming that they handle some of the tasks that have come up. Are there any tasks outstanding, either that you've accomplished or are still sitting there on the plate for you to do that you would like to just kind of touch on briefly?
So we keep a list of things that the public have brought to us, or we have a kind of a work list. We can't tackle everything.
Right.
We're volunteers, but we do have a lengthy list of things we'd like to do. Currently, we have several work groups that are progressing. We have work groups on use of deadly force, on the crowd control policies of the Bureau. We have a recurring audit work group that looks at how investigations and how complaints have been handled. We have a community outreach work group that just deals with planning the CRC's community outreach activities. We have a work group on recruiting and retention in the Bureau, so making sure that they're recruiting and retaining the right sort of Bureau members. So those are ongoing. We do have other things that we will talk about when we do have our annual retreat, which I mentioned. We usually spend some of that time planning out the next year. What are the real key things we're hearing from the community that they're concerned about? That's why the crowd management, crowd control work group got started this year, is that we heard a lot about that coming out of the Occupy Portland events, where we were hearing a lot of input from the community that they had major concerns about the way that was dealt with. Mm-hmm. So that's how direct community information can then lead to CRC work for the following year.
Mm-hmm. So after listening to this program for a while, I'm thinking, well, maybe I might be interested in getting involved. You guys talked, pretty convincingly, but I'm just not sure. Why should I join, and what are the processes? So where do I go for information for the application and things
okay.
like that?
Well, why you should join is, like, if you live in the city and care about the city, which I think a lot of people do. There are a lot of places folks could live and not have it rain 8 months of the year. So I think there's a commitment to the city that I've lived all over the world. And there's a commitment to the city that I haven't seen anywhere else, just with the residents here. And if you are one of those people, like a lot of Portlanders who want to step up and who are interested in becoming part of the CRC, the way you could do that is just either stopping by our office at City Hall, which is it's on the third floor, room 320 of City Hall, or you could call this IPR at 503-823-0146.
Okay, you got to say that again slower so people can write it down.
I'm sorry. That's
all right.
I always talk too fast. 503-823-0146. Or you can go to the City of Portland website. and go to the auditor's webpage and just click on to the IPR icon, and there's a application on the website that's like you can write on it. It's a PDF writable document, or you can just print it out. Or if you just, you know, don't want to deal with that, just call us. We'll send one to you. As long as you send it to back to us by March 13th, 5 o'clock, March 13th, you know, you should be on your way to kind of becoming a member of the CRC.
And Rodney, you're talking to one person who said, well, I'm thinking it might be a good thing to do. You've been on the commission for how long?
1 year.
One year?
Yes.
And... what do you tell someone
to encourage them?
Similar to what Constantine said, is this is our city, this is our police force. We want a police force that is accountable to its citizens. There's a lot of ways to get involved with that, just by voting, by making your voice heard, by attending council meetings or committee meetings. Another way is to be a member of the Citizen Review Committee, to step up and participate, especially for those folks that have a real passion or interest in this area. I would think it's a great opportunity for you to learn a lot about how city government works, how the city of Portland works, about how police oversight works in this city. Make your voice heard. We have the authority to look at confidential police investigation files, really get in there, make policy recommendations based on what we find. The part of it that I really like the best is meeting with the community, hearing the community's input on things that they have concerns about, and then taking that back and actually doing something with it. Making direct recommendations to the city or to the bureau about things where we think, you know, serious improvements could be made. So it's valuable, it is fulfilling, it's rewarding. Like, it's challenging, but most things that are rewarding are challenging. So I would recommend that people at least give IPR a call and take a look at the process and see if they're interested.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
As we wrap it up, I just want to let people know that this application process is not burdensome. As you look at the application, the candidate qualifications and expectations are really clear and easy to possess. Demonstrate an ability to be impartial and objective, possess sound communication and listening skills, lead and function well in a group, maintain high standards of confidentiality, be willing to make a substantial time commitment, including trainings, the monthly evening meetings, work group meetings, and independent review of complaint files, and then finally to pass a criminal background check. And as Constantine Severe said earlier, what they're looking for with regard to that is honesty. Honesty will not get you expelled from the process. Dishonesty will. And if I understand them correctly, they look at things on a case-by-case situation. So we want to encourage people from all walks of life, all economic levels, get our genders represented, ethnicities, languages, worldviews, values. Everybody here in Portland, consider your opportunity to serve and be a part of what makes Portland great. And one of the things that makes Portland great is your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area. Stay tuned.
KBOO Radio is proud to help Zippity News in a clothes drive to help clothe the homeless. We will be collecting gloves, hats, and scarves until February 15th, when the clothes will be distributed throughout the homeless community. KBOO is located on 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just off Burnside. Thank you, and we hope to see you donating clothes to help keep the homeless warm this winter.
You are tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Merrillhurst University's new Bachelor of Arts in Media and Film Studies, where you can explore how media in all forms affect not only how we view the world, but how we shape it. You'll learn the power of media and how you can use that power to become a participant in change. Now accepting applications, details at merrillhurst.edu/KABU.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, Portland's only community-owned and democratically run radio station. Welcome to the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm Tom Becker, Joe Clement is our engineer. The Old Mole is dedicated to bringing you perspectives on history, culture, politics, and current events that dig deeper than the far-torn critical reporting and analyses of the conventional media. Last week on this program, Bill Resnick interviewed Lori Kleinman, the Secretary-Treasurer for PACOON, a union for Oregon farm workers. Today they will continue their discussion talking about the impact that immigration reform would have on immigrant workers. Jan Hawken will be interviewing Mary Liz Thompson, the director of the documentary film Who Bombed Judy Berry? Berry was First Earth IWW activist who survived a 1990 car bombing. Joe Clement will be talking with Christian Williams, a Portland area police scholar, about an upcoming panel at PSU called Community Alternatives to the Police, at which he will be a speaker. I'll read excerpts from an article by Chris Hedges entitled The Myth of Progress. Now here's Bill talking with Lori Kleinman of PACOON.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour talking to Lori Kleinman. We've been talking about the immigration reform legislation that was very recently proposed. It has shockingly wonderful possibilities, although we pointed out that the devil is in the details. Again, Larry, let's summarize the central question, which is getting on the on-ramp and getting the right to a Social Security card, a driver's license, and the right to work. Those are just fundamental, it seems to me. Mm-hmm. How might it be constricted?
So on the road to citizenship, how big is the on-ramp?
Right.
And what are the things that could constrict the on-ramp really your question.
Yeah.
So I think there's two big ones that, as a threshold matter, that loom. One is, how long do you have to have been here, if long at all, to qualify? And the second one is, what is the set of disqualifiers like criminal convictions? Now, criminal convictions, on the one hand, people might say, well, if people have been convicted of crimes, they shouldn't be allowed onto the on-ramp. But what we also know is many people have minor criminal convictions for things like driving without a license that were not